You know, the verse of the day today on the Bible YouVersion app was Joel 2:12, and I couldn't think of a better verse to start with. You know, turn to me now while there's still time. Give me your hearts. Lord, I pray that we are here today to give you our heart. Lord, we are here with a generous and giving spirit, Lord, to just spend time in your presence, Lord. Lord, that we are here at your feet, raising our hands, Lord, to spend time with you, surrendering our hearts, Lord, to you, Lord, like a child comes to their parent, Lord. Lord, we invite you in this place. Let's worship.
Every praise is to our God. They'll never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me, and saved me from my enemy, the Son of God surrounds his saints, he will deliver them, oh, he will deliver them.
Magnify the Lord.
Amen to that. Amen. Glory to God. I would like all of the, good morning. I'm Pastor Brad. For those of you I have yet the pleasure of meeting, hope you'll join me for newcomers in just a little while. But this morning, all of you men that are going on the encounter this Friday, all of you that are leading and participating, come and stand across the front as I asked you to. And so just come. We're going to pray for you. We want on the screen, there's going to be several things that we are going to pray for them about. Those of you that are out there, you go ahead and be seated. And we're going to just pray that God does something powerful. Look, and here's the things I want to. These are things on the screen I want to see happen in the lives of everyone. I want to see these men encounter God powerfully and personally. I want to see them come back here with a greater love, not only for God, but for their families, you know, and for the work of God. I want to see that happen, you know. I want to see them experience breakthrough. You know, we see every time we do one of these encounters, we see men come back and break through all kinds of stuff, you know. And I mean, it's, I mean, you know what? And we want to see guys just say, okay, I get how God has wired me up, and I want to step into his purpose for my life. And those are the things. So pray with me today, would you? For all these guys that this has been a tough go to pull this off. But it's going to happen this time. So we're excited about that. But this 48-hour experience is unlike any kind of seminar, workshop, conference. It's none of that. It's a designed session upon session experience with Jesus. And it's in a beautiful setting up in Ashford, Connecticut. Father God, we are trusting you. We are trusting you. Lord, those four things up there aren't just things on a screen. They're things we are trusting you. Come on, friends, pray with me on this. That every one of these things would take place. That every one of these men would encounter you in a way they never have. That every one of them would break through the obstacles that are issues or, God, maybe even addictions that they're dealing with. They break through those things. That God, that they would, God, they would emerge with a greater love for you, their families, God, it's just those around them. And the Lord, that every guy, that if he doesn't know what his God-designed purpose is, that he'd discover that this coming weekend as well. We're trusting you that, Lord, next Sunday afternoon when we return and we gather in the afternoon to welcome these guys back, that we're going to hear stories of tremendous works of your Spirit that took place. And so we commit everything to you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're just trusting you for great things. Amen, friends. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, guys. You can be seated. Thank you very much. We're trusting God for great things. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be tremendous. This is something we only do about once a year. So it's a tremendous experience. It's unlike, this is a Seaport specific thing. It is run, operated, led by us. So it's powerful, life-changing. We're excited. Something we've been doing almost 20 years around here. You believe it? So thank God for that. I don't know. I hope it isn't sliding off your attention. I don't know how it could when you drove by the gas station this morning and was like, "What?" I hope your first reaction wasn't necessarily like, "Oh my gosh." But more like, Lord, I need to pray for Ukraine. You know, I hope that's, every time you go by the gas station, yeah, you're going to think about the impact on your wallet. Of course you are. Of course you are. We all do. But think about the people in Ukraine. Nobody's seeking to flee, right, here. This is not a bomb shelter that you're in. There's no bombs going off. So we can rejoice in all that, amen? But we need to pray for Ukraine. Brian made this up for me. And I wear this on my wrist as a reminder. I don't need much of a reminder because I track this and watch it carefully. But let's pray together right now for what's happening in Ukraine. Please understand, I'm not going to get all political, historical, and all that jazz on you. But it's more than just what's happening in Ukraine and with Russia. It's a bigger picture there. Bigger picture. So we need to pray. We need to pray for our administration that they would make wise decisions, and we need to pray for Ukraine. So pray with me right now, would you? And, you know, we can focus upon a lot of things, but one of the things that's in my heart is number two up there, is that the gospel would advance even through all of this. You know, at the upcoming, there's a deacons meeting coming up, and one of the things we will talk about in that deacons meeting is what we as a church will do and how we will respond as a church for Ukraine. So we will be talking about that too. So you'll hear more about that. We will respond in some way as a church. So let's pray together. Father, thank you. Don't even play, sweetheart. Just totally silent, isn't it? There's no sirens. There's nothing. You don't hear anything. And that is the privilege of peace. Lord, we pray for peace in Ukraine, just like we just heard. Just like we just heard. Give our administration and other countries, God, that are trying to figure out how to best respond. Lord, there are so many things that they could inadvertently trip. Lord, I pray that they have great wisdom to know what to do and what not to do and how to respond. Lord, we would ask, you're used to dealing with, you know, dictators and potentates, and so we'll leave him in your hands. You got plenty of experience dealing with them. But Lord, today our cry is for Christians and non-Christians in Ukraine. I pray that the gospel would advance in the hearts of every Christian and in the heart of every non-Christian. And that, God, that you would seize this opportunity, God, to bring people into eternal life. Lord, those who have been hurt and maimed, I pray for their healing. Lord, those who are trying to flee, help them to flee. Those, God, that are staying, having to stay and fight, then Lord, help them to do it well. Everything is riding on what they're doing. And God, we have heard of supernatural interventions there. That seem to be you stepping in unusual and supernatural ways. And we pray that that continues to happen. There's a limit, Lord, to what can happen. But we pray that the works of the enemy there, Lord, would be defeated. And that there would be peace there. And we are trusting you, Father, in the name of Jesus for this. Amen, friends? Amen. We're trusting God for just keep praying. Don't stop. I know it's easy to just simply say, well, that's way over there. That's not way over there. It's at the gas station. Right? It's at the gas station. And so just let the gas station be a reminder to pray. If you need a reminder, look at the gas station and say, God, help Ukraine in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, stand with me. We're going to sing this song. You know, it's an appropriate song to sing right now. Hallelujah. Great I am. You know, God was not caught off guard by this. The United States government was, but not the God of the universe. Amen? So let's put our focus on the great I am.
I want to be close to your side, so heaven is real and death is alive. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Great I am.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you so much for your spirit, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being so faithful and strengthening us. Thank you that your grace is sufficient, oh, God. Thank you for being so great in every single way. You are the almighty, all-powerful God, creator of everything. You spoke, O Lord, and everything came into creation. There is nothing too hard for you, God. Thank you. Father, we thank you, and we just ask that today you would equip each and every one of us with the mind of your Son, Jesus. We pray that you would give us spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom, that you'd soften our hearts, prepare the ground of our hearts, God, to receive your word. Help us to receive your word with meekness, the word that is for the saving of our souls, God. Help us to receive your word. Increase our faith, God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Just speak to us today, Father. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the work you're doing right now. Thank you for the work you're going to do as we hear the message. Thank you for just blessing us with your love, oh God. Thank you for blessing us with your love. We didn't do anything for your love. You loved us first, and now from your love, we can go forward in love. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Thank you, Lord. I have another prayer topic this morning. I'm going to pray for all of us here in Seaport to thrive. To thrive. So please continue to stand and just pray in agreement with me.
I don't know if everybody knows, but the word says that if two of us stand in agreement as we pray, it shall be established. So if we pray in agreement, it shall be established. So let's pray with that faith this morning. Father, we ask for your Spirit to move in our hearts, to move in our minds, God, so that we would have a daily appointment with you, oh God. You did not make any mistake giving us 24 hours a day. Your time, the time we have is time you've given us, God. And if that's the time you gave us in your perfect creation, there's time for a daily appointment with you, oh Lord. Please put that desire in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see the God-designed role you've given us. Help us to tithe and give generously, God. When we tithe, not only is it giving back to you what you've already given us, but you in your amazing ways, God, you bless us even more. Your word says that it's shaken together and running over whatever we give back to you, God. And I just pray also, Lord, that you give us that compassion, that burn in our hearts, that we would go forward and spread the good news of your kingdom and of your gospel to those around us. Let people know that God loves us and that he did the unthinkable by sending your son Jesus. Help us to share your gospel, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. You can be seated. I just want to say welcome to all of our first-time visitors. If we could just give them a round of applause for being here. We want to welcome you. Thank you for coming to Seaport. Everyone online, thank you for tuning in. If you want to get connected with Seaport, you can hit the QR code at the back of the seats that are in front of you. Get connected with us in all the social media, Facebook, YouTube, other things like that. You can download the Church Center app, get connected with Seaport that way. And also, if you're new to Seaport, maybe been here a couple times, maybe today's your first time here, Pastor Brad, and we would love for you to get connected with Pastor Brad. He'll be in the fireplace room shortly for the newcomers reception. So if you want to go meet Pastor Brad, that's available for you today. That's everything.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. Appreciate that, Rolando. Hallelujah. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving. And I love what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He wrote them a thank you letter for their generosity. That's what Philippians really is. He talks about a lot of other things in there, but I love what it says here at the end of Philippians 4:17. He says, you know what? It says, first of all, I'm grateful for all that you guys have done. And so am I. I'm grateful for all that you've done. And he encourages them to be faithful because he said, look at what he says here, because I want you to experience the blessing that issues from generosity. Amen? That's one of the reasons I challenge you. Yeah, there's lots of bills to pay. We all know that. But, you know, there's a great staff. We have a great staff and a phenomenal facility. And God has blessed us, and we are responsible for that. Yeah, it's true. But you know what? I want you to learn to be generous, to tithe, and to give offerings because the blessing that comes from generosity. I know inflation at the grocery store and at the, you know, I pay the same price as you do. I look at all that, and it's shocking. But then I go, you know what? God's not surprised. He's not broke. He hasn't run out of money. So let me tell you what I did, okay, with all this craziness. This is what I did. I upped my missions giving by 50%. That's what I did, okay? I said, well, I can pull back or I can give more. I'm going to give more in faith. That's what I'm doing, okay? So I certainly won't ask you to do something I'm not doing. So anyway, that's what I'm doing. I haven't pulled back on my giving. I'm increasing my giving because God is bigger than inflation. Amen? Amen. He's bigger than inflation, you know? So, hallelujah. Glory to God. And we'll just keep trusting him. Amen? So there's lots of ways to give. You can see that up there. You can use text to give. You can use the text format. You can use the app. You can give little kiosks out there, little boxes out there in our narthex, our lobby area. You can do that. Lots of ways to give. And so we thank you for that. Okay, just some quick announcements here. And Then Stacy's going to come and tell us about a new opportunity for our ladies. Obviously, the men's encounter is this coming weekend. If you are saying, you know what, what's it take to be involved around Seaport? How can I figure out who God made me to be? That's engaged, and it's in the form of a webinar, and you can participate in that. I lead that, as a matter of fact. The Royal Rangers not only have their chili cook-off today, but they also have their derby coming up here very shortly, and there's a work day for that in preparation for that. Wednesday night, we're continuing our series, Where Do We Go From Here? I'm going to be teaching this installment. And the question is, are these the end days? And a lot of people have been saying, is this invasion really... I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about, is this invasion really what the prophet spoke about in Ezekiel? Is it the end? And if it is the end, what kind of people should we be if it is the end of the end? So we'll talk about that on Wednesday night as we continue the series. So we'll look at that. Okay. Here's a couple of brand new opportunities to thrive. Here's one of them, Spring Into Healthier Habits with Sherry. And so you'll see that all of this is on the app. And there's another one coming on physical exercise, too. That's coming for you. Here's something brand new. Blessing of the Bikes is coming back this year. And so that's on Sunday, May 1st. Rich Vreeland will be with us that Sunday as well. And so he's a three-time national Harley-Davidson drag champion. So he'll be with us again. And so there's a lot happening around here. And of course, the chili cook-off right after the service. But Stacy, come and talk to us about an opportunity for our ladies. And this is an opportunity not only in person, but it's also online. Stacy?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I have been doing a Bible study with the ladies of Seaport since school started. And Julie Deline, I would like you to introduce. Julie, can you just stand up and say hi? This is Julie Deline. She joined us this last session, and she does the online portion. So I do the Bible study here at church, and she'll do the online portion. So I just wanted you to see us, know who we are. We are about to start another Bible study. It is called 12 Women of the Bible. And I just wanted to give you a little information about it. If you guys have not joined a Bible study, this is the perfect time to join. Some women split. They come when they can in person. They do online, or they just solely do online or in person. So I don't want you to feel like you can't do this because you don't have 12 weeks to commit. We are doing 6 weeks at a time. We take a couple weeks off. We do another 6 weeks. This is the perfect study because these studies don't build on each other. Some of our other studies, you really should have came to the first one to kind of get the full benefit. This one, each week is different. Each week, we're going to go over a woman in the Bible. And we're going to talk about women such as Eve, Rebecca, Leah, Gomer. I don't know who Gomer is. I'm going to be honest. Not sure who Gomer is. I have to look her up. Who? Thank you. I've read my Bible through, so I'm not sure how I missed her. So if you haven't learned about Gomer, you come with us and learn about Gomer. Some of the topics we're going to talk about: contentment, rejection, faith, breaking free from stereotypes, comfort to courage, and messes to messages. So this is a wonderful study. I encourage you guys to join us. Julie will start Monday, March 14th. I will start Thursday, March 17th. Julie's is Monday nights at 7 p.m., and we're here Thursdays at 10 a.m. You do need a study guide. So please purchase a study guide. All the information is on the app. If you cannot purchase a study guide or you're having trouble, please let one of us know. We will make sure you get a study guide. So that's it. I asked a few ladies to tell me what are some of the benefits they've received. These are just some of the things they told me. One said it's a safe place to share and to receive prayer. One said a forum for rich learning and self-discovery. Someone said a fellowship while exploring God's word as it applies to life. And another lady said, at first I was saying I was not going to share what's wrong with me, or I wasn't going to share with what I'm struggling with. The enemy will try his best to prevent us from being set free. And she quoted James 5:16. So we really have prayed together. We have really shared with each other. Everything is confidential. We have seen women have some healing and some breakthroughs. So please join us. We'd love to have you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. Amen. And thank you for giving such great leadership to our nursery as well. Hallelujah. And so we want to jump right in here now. I mean, the youth are going to remain in the service today. Chris is going to come and share the word with us. Chris is getting ready to retire from the military, but he is about to complete his training as minister and pursue credentials. And he's an intern here with me. And so we're excited about his progress. Amen. And so that's exciting to see what God is doing in his life as well. But if you're new here today, or you're brand new, been here maybe a couple times or whatever, you'd like to find out, you know, is Seaport the place for me? And if I come to this church, what's going to happen to me? Then join me right now. You can go out the back and down the hallway into the newcomers reception, or you can go right out this way. Either way, come and join me, and Chris will share the word. Let's go, Chris.
Thank you, Pastor Brad. Good morning, Seaport Community Church. How's everybody doing today? Come on, I need a little more than that. It's the chili cook-off day. I hope you guys are getting hungry. You know, it's misty out. It's like the perfect day to eat chili, isn't it? Anyway, have you guys ever sensed God leading you to do something, yet you hesitated to follow through because you knew? You just knew that it would upset your routine. It would confuse your schedule. Or maybe you knew that it would change your life. But let me ask you, if you're going to truly model Christ for somebody else, are you even listening? Are you listening for yourself? I want you to take a look up here because there's going to be a picture. It's a saying, and don't criticize my handwriting. It's a saying that I've had on my whiteboard in my office for the last 3.5 years. Nothing so conclusively proves one's ability to lead others as they do on a day-to-day basis to lead themselves. So if our ability is determined by what we do on a day-to-day basis to lead ourselves, we should take a moment. We should take a moment right now and we should ask ourselves, what am I doing to lead myself? Or really, more specifically, who or what am I being led by? What am I being obedient to as I lead myself? You know, I want you to consider Hosea, who heard the call to marry a prostitute. Was he listening? What about the call when Jonah was called to go down to a foreign land and to preach a message of repentance to a wicked city? I mean, I can just hear the conversation between Jonah and God happening, right? Psst, Jonah, I want you to go down to the docks at Joppa, right? Catch the first ship down to Nineveh. I mean, Jonah must have been like, wait, what? Are you crazy? You want me to go to a place that I've never been and preach this message on wickedness to people that I've never met? Did he listen? So let's be honest. Most people are trying to live a good life, right? They're trying to live a good life in peace. They want to have harmony. They want to have comfort, or at least that's their goal, right? Maybe they or we obey the laws, right? We look both ways when we cross the street. Every time we go to the Henny Penny and we see that they have that little MDA fundraiser, right, they give a dollar when they stop to get a drink. Or, hey, every week we check the block that we're coming to church, or we give faithfully. It's even easier now that we give faithfully because we can just set it up to automatically come out, right? We pray, we read our Bibles, but what happens when God breaks in? What happens when he starts to challenge you? What happens when he says, hey, Davina Robert, I want you to share Jesus with your Spanish teacher? You know, there was somebody from the congregation last week sent me a text message and they said, you know, they were asking if Bella still worked at Subway, and they were like, hey, I was in Subway today, and I felt like I needed to pray for this guy, right? I needed to pray for this guy, and I needed to share Jesus for him. And she did it right there in the Subway, right? Or what about like, hey, Dave Serafi, hey, Dave, back there in the tech booth, hey, I want you to use your engineering talents, and I want you to go to Africa, and I want you to share Jesus with all the Ethiopians that you miss. I mean, take a moment Ask yourself, would you answer that call? Will you answer that call? Will you lead the charge for God when he asks you to? You know, today we're going to start a new series. We're just getting into this new series on leaders. And let's walk through how Moses did when God asked him. So if you guys want to pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, today we're going to kick off in the book of Exodus, specifically chapter 2, verse 11. And let's see how God interrupts Moses' life when he's a peaceful shepherd in Midian. Now, Moses, he wasn't always a shepherd, mind you. In fact, Moses was about as prestigious as they come in that day. You see, he had been adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, and he was brought into the royal family. He grew up as royalty. He grew up as a prince. So how did this guy who grew up as a prince, how did he end up herding sheep in the deserts of Midian? Right? Good question. So let's take a look. So in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard that they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. And then if we fast forward to verse 15, and sure enough, right, it always comes out, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. Now that's hard to believe. Hard to believe that this once well-respected, this guy who grew up in the royal family since birth, instantly became a murderer and now is on the death list. I mean, because at the end of the day, he wasn't part of the bloodline, right? He was adopted. But as a result, Pharaoh, he still sought to kill Moses. And because of that, Moses fled. He fled into the wilderness, and then he finally decided to stop and rest at a well in the land of Midian. Right? And then as life goes on, before he knows it, Moses is married to Zipporah. He's a dad. He's got a stable job. He's got this great work-life balance thing going on, right? He's comfortable. I mean, after all, better to be this simple shepherd in Midian than a corpse in Egypt. I mean, this sounds reasonable, right? It sounds reasonable and logical to me. However, God, you say, God, he had a plan, right? He had a plan for Moses later on. God interrupts Moses' comfort. He interrupts Moses' time with a vision, with a nudge. I'm not sure how I would have taken this talking, burning bush nudge. But if you turn to Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. So for 40 years, Moses has led this peaceful existence in the land of Midian, working for his father-in-law, when suddenly, shabam, God interrupts him. Right? Now, if you guys didn't know, as Pastor Brad was talking, right, I've been in the Navy for a long time. I'm getting ready to retire. And so my original plan for post-Navy retirement kind of looked like being, you know, continuing in the medical field, being a nurse practitioner or going to PA school, or I was still even tossing around the fact of going to med school, right? It made sense to me. It was the current trajectory that I was on. It was the things that I liked to do. However, I too found myself interrupted by God, right? My passion to help people all of a sudden became properly aligned, but it happened through a pretty difficult season. And now this burning passion to help people shifted from just, you know, doing physical exams on them and giving them medication to bringing them the good news of the gospel, to being up here and sharing the word with you guys. And as it turned out, he had already, I don't know when it started, probably at my birth, right, started to line things up. It just took me a little bit to catch up. He was preparing me for full-time ministry. Doors started to open up that I didn't even know existed. All it took was my obedience and a conversation with Pastor Brad about like this thing called school of ministry that I had no idea about. right? And so now Moses, he is suddenly confronted with God's vision for his life, which included him returning to the place that he had fled from. You know, understandably, Moses might be a little bit hesitant, I think. Would you be hesitant? Right? After all, I mean, he had murdered a guy in Egypt. He fled for his life, and now I have to go back to that same area. Certainly his own people, the Hebrews, they would remember. But maybe Pharaoh wouldn't. I mean, who was this Moses to go back to Egypt and free his people? He had, at this point, long accepted and embraced his new life as a simple shepherd. Truth be told, Moses just wasn't interested in God's vision for his life. Listen to the conversation that he had with God in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled." I guess I need Aaron too. Then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or don't speak, hear or don't hear, see or don't see? It is I, the Lord. Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you what to say." But Moses pleaded again, "Lord, please send anyone else." I mean, I laugh, right? "Lord, send anyone else." Has anybody ever asked this question? Like, "Lord, please, I know you're not talking to me." That sounds familiar, right? Now, let's be completely honest. Have you ever sensed God's calling at one time or another and then failed to answer the call? I mean, I know I have. But God, you've got the wrong person here. We try to plead with him, right? Like, we got the wrong person. Or, Lord, listen, I'm really shy. I can't do that. There's no way I can get up on the pulpit. I'm not a good speaker. I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm sorry. I know you want me to start a Bible study, but I just don't have the education level that's needed to pull that off. Or, but God, I can't be a youth ministry leader. I don't have the training. And then this one is my favorite, right? "Come on, are you crazy, Lord? You don't know my past." Like, who are we talking to? "You don't know my past?" Of course he does. We all have this myriad of excuses, and yet, isn't it true that God calls us to do things that are beyond our abilities? Doesn't our Lord call us to do the impossible? But it's so that he can receive the glory, not us. You know, where do we get this idea that God will only call us to do things that are, I don't know, comfortable, possible, realistic, right? I mean, even Paul says it in 2 Corinthians. He says, "Each time, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me." So the power of Christ can work through me. "That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong." You know, God has not called us to go where we think we ought to go. 20 years ago, I'd have told you, yeah, of course I'm going to be a medical provider of some sort. Where we think we're most comfortable, right? Where we're going to be the most effective. I mean, sometimes we just want to do it because it's going to make us the most happy. But God has really called us to do, well, I was going to say one thing, but two things, right? He's called us to listen and obey. He wants us to lead through our influence. Obedience means that we must listen to the master. We have to listen to him, and then we have to go precisely where he tells us and where he sends us. There's a reason, even if we don't know what it is. We must embrace this leadership from him as he uses us to influence others in our lives. You see, God made it clear to Moses that his mission would not be easy, it would not be comfortable, but that he would be provided with everything that he needed. In fact, since Moses thought he was going to be all tongue-twisted and tongue-tied, he even sent Moses' brother Aaron, the Levite, to be his mouthpiece. And as we keep on moving through Exodus and we get to chapter 5, verse 1, Aaron and Moses, they finally travel back to enter into Pharaoh's court and declare God's words. They told Pharaoh, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. He says, let my people go so that they may have a festival in my honor in the wilderness." Now, this is not received by Pharaoh, who is accustomed to, you know, he's not really accustomed to being ordered around. You see, in ancient Egypt, the Pharaoh, he was perceived as a god himself and thus worshipped by the people. So I can just imagine how that went, that conversation between, you know, Aaron, Moses, and Pharaoh, like, "Hey, let my people go." And he's like, "Who's this guy? Who are you?" Now, you can understand why Moses is pronounced it doesn't sit well with him, right? And listen to Pharaoh's reaction in verses 5-8. Pharaoh said, "Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work." That same day, Pharaoh sent this order to the Egyptian slave drivers and the Israelite foremen: "Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get it themselves, but still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they are crying out. Let us go and offer sacrifices to our God." Pharaoh's basically saying, "Oh, you think you're going to come in here and talk to me? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make your people work twice as hard just because you inconvenienced me." You know, and at this point, Moses, he must have been thinking like, "Oh man, I'm not going to be a very popular guy around here." He knows that he's going to catch some heat, right? His decision to obey God and keep God's vision clear has now created this very miserable and tangible effect for his people. And listen to how the Hebrew foreigner react to all of this in verses 19-21. The Israelite foreman could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, "You must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day." As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. The foreman said to them, "May the Lord judge and punish you for making a stink before the Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword in their hands and excuse to kill us." Yep, I'd say they were pretty mad. They were pretty hot at Aaron and Moses. Life up until then had been kind of hard for them, right? They were slaves. They were doing a lot of work. But now things just went from bad to way worse. And who's to blame for all of this? Who do they see as to blame for all of this? Right? They see right in front of them, they see Moses. Moses is clearly the problem here. A man who simply was obeying God's directive. And so what do you think Moses was thinking at this point? I don't know what I'd be thinking. Probably like, "Oh man, especially if I can't see all the way down in the future, right?" And verse 22 and 23 says it all. Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, "Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people?" He's pleading with the Lord. "Lord, why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesperson, your spokesman, it has been even more brutal for your people. And you have done nothing to rescue them." Lord, you've done nothing to rescue them. There's no doubt, and we can hear it in the text, Moses is completely discouraged. Where Moses initially considered this whole plan probably a bad idea, now he's sure, right? He's so sure that he starts to question God's wisdom. And once again, we see this mirror image of ourself when we don't know. I mean, have you ever doubted God's plan for your life, but then reluctantly obeyed, only to find yourself in a world of discouragement? Where you start to question, "I know I'm following this path, I know I'm going down this path, but I'm not seeing any results here, God, what are we doing?" Has this ever happened to you? I know it's happened to me. In fact, each of us, I mean, we're only human, and in our own humanity, we often fail to see the long-term results of what our obedience truly looks like. And as a result of this, we get tempted. We're tempted to call it quits before God even finishes what he's doing. We think, "Nah, this isn't happening fast enough. You know what? I'm going to help him. So when the discouraging times come, and they're going to come, we have to make a choice. It's at that moment that we have to make a choice. We either have to stand upon God's character and his promises, or we have to wallow in self-pity and play the blame game with God. In fact, Moses himself played the blame game with God, didn't he? Listen again to verses 22 and 23. Then Moses went back to the Lord and he protested, "Why have you brought all this trouble upon your people, Lord? Why did you send me? Why me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesperson, he has been even more brutal to your people. And you have done nothing. You've done nothing to rescue them, God." In two short verses, Moses uses the word "you" and "your" in reference to God. I have to laugh here, right? I have to laugh here because how much do we do this? Things start to get difficult, right? We're like, we're chugging along, we're comfortable, we're going to church, we're really strong in our relationship with God, and then something happens. And we're like, "God, why? God, why?" And fill in the blank, whatever that thing is. Our vision, it starts to get distorted when these hard times come. We can't see past the storm. All we can see is all the rain and the fog. We easily lose sight. But that's the thing with spiritual vision, right? It's a long-range supernatural vision. It sees beyond the immediate situation. It sees beyond the storm for the purposes of God and what God wants to do. And here's the bedrock. There's really no getting around it. You have to ask yourself, do I trust God? You know, I know whenever I get a question, I usually, you know, start to go like this. And I'm like, I got my hand on my head and I'm just kind of going like doing one of these. And when things don't seem to be going the way that I thought they should be going, they're not going in the path that I thought it should be going on. And then I start to question, and I do one of those. And then I get the nudge. I get the little nudge, right? And it always, every single time, always comes in four little words. Do you trust me? It's the constant thing that gets reminded to me. Do you trust me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Does God really desire you and I to suffer as much as possible for suffering's sake? I don't think so. Because in John 10:10, it says that Christ came to give us life. Not just normal life, but abundant life. So what can we do? What can we do to refocus our vision on a regular basis? What can we do on a daily basis to lead ourselves well? We can trust Him. God can be unconditionally trusted because He keeps His word. In fact, in Exodus 6, verses 2 to 5, God says, "And God said to Moses, 'I am Yahweh, the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land in Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people and of Israel, who are now slaves to the Egyptians, and I am well aware of my covenant with them.'" Simply put, God knows and He keeps His promises. He is always with us, even if we can't see it, even if we're in the storm of life. Sometimes God gives us a vision that doesn't make sense to us. Anybody gotten a vision that makes absolutely no sense to us? Right? If you guys remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about Noah who had to build this huge boat. Sure, it didn't make sense to him either. I can only imagine what was going through Moses' mind when the Lord said to Moses in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, "Pay close attention to this. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. Tell Aaron everything I command you, and Aaron must command Pharaoh to let the people of Israel leave his country. But I will make Pharaoh's heart stubborn so I can multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." I mean, can you even imagine what must have been going through Moses' head at that time? Moses, that he was like, "God, the Pharaoh, why don't you just like not harden Pharaoh's heart?" Like, I'm sure that would have been going through my mind. Like, why all this extra stuff? But why? Well, God says He was doing it in order to multiply His miraculous signs and wonders. But even so, this still must have seemed so confusing to Moses. And often we are required to follow this God-outlined mission, even when the game plan seems super illogical, when it seems to not make sense at all. And here's the thing, because we have some sobering words that are found in Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not or nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You see, what we discover is when we operate within the mission and vision of the Almighty Savior, the Almighty God, it causes others to take note. Others notice the influence. Maybe they don't notice it that particular day, but when they get to that hard place, and they'll get there, they will see the comfort and the peace and the joy that exists within your life. In fact, this faith is so strong that in Hebrews it tells us it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn son. It was by faith. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. Moses had influence over people. He had influence over the people of God because he had faith in God's purpose and in God's plan. Moses stepped into that vision that God had given him. And the end result was that he became this leader of a large nation as they exited Egypt through the Red Sea and then into the Promised Land. So even when the impossible seemed to block their progress, I'm sure they all showed up to the Red Sea like, all right, like, what's next? I can't swim. But Moses, he believed. He had faith for the freedom of his people. And he said to them further in Exodus 14, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians, you see, they will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Just stay calm. That's the vision. That's what God desires for you and I to have. But how can you step into what God has called you to do? How can you step in if you aren't listening? How can you lead yourself well on a daily basis if you're not letting God lead you? Friends, God wants to put you into action. He wants to send God. He wants to send Dave to Africa. At least I think so. But if you're a Christian, I mean, it's already March. It's March. We're like almost a quarter way through the year. How are your 2022 Thrive goals going? How is your daily appointment with God going? Are you spending time in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer so that you can hear and know His voice? Are you serving? Are you serving here in your God-designed role at Seaport? Are you answering that call of the Holy Spirit that, you know, that they put on your heart? Like, hey, I'm talking to you. No, I'm not talking to that guy over there. I'm talking to you like, hello, are you listening? So listen, we have these QR codes. They're on that seat back in front of you. Right? I think they're going to put it up on the screen here. Pull out your phone. Scan that thing. It's time to start doing something. Right? If you haven't been to Engage yet and you haven't figured out what God's design purposes are for you, that's where you can do that at. If you've already been through there and you're not involved in some ministry here at Seaport, we have lots of opportunities for you. And when you scan that code, if you didn't know, it takes you to a spot where you can just say, hey, I'd like to volunteer. And then contact the office. Step into something. There are plenty of places to serve. And if you're not a Christian yet, I mean, what are you waiting for? Maybe you're on the fence. Maybe you've been coming for a few weeks. Maybe you've just been watching online and you haven't decided to make that step to come to the actual building yet. It's no accident that you're in the building today. It's no accident that you're online. What are you guys waiting for? My favorite similarity between Moses and Jesus is this role of being a deliverer. You see, God raised up Moses to be the deliverer of his people from Egypt. But God sent Jesus to earth. God sent his only son, not just to teach us his ways, not just to be a good dude. He sent us to be this servant leader to emulate and to deliver us from the bondage of sin and eternal death, giving us direct access to the Father. He sent his one and only son to bear the burden of our sins, even before we were here, as the perfect sacrifice to take our place. And if you're ready to accept that free gift of forgiveness, take that first step, invite him into your heart. Even if you don't know what to do from there, that's okay. Just invite him into your heart. So why don't you guys stand with me? Stand with me as we get ready to worship. I'm going to have the band come back up. We're going to have the prayer team come forward. You know, if you need prayer for anything, they're here for you. If you're not sure what to do, if you want to invite Christ into your heart and you don't know what to do, come up. Receive prayer. Talk to the prayer team. Now let's pray. If you guys want to bow your heads so we can pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you, Lord. Thank you that you're right here as our shadow, Lord. You're right there. All we have to do is press in and listen to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're right there anytime I ask for you, Lord. Lord, I need you to lead me. I need you to lead us. I need you to send us, Lord. Where do you want us to go? Lord, it's in your great grace that we can even be here today to recognize everything that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that we can listen and obey you. Amen. Let's worship.
All over my life.
Thank you, Lord, that we have no fear, Lord. Lord, that we can trust your promises, Lord. That we can trust you, Lord. All we have to do is listen and obey, Lord. We know that we can't outgive you, God. We can't outgive you with our time. We can't outgive you with our money, Lord. Lord, send us to do your will. May we be bold and courageous as we share you this week, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, don't everybody run all on out, right? I hope you guys are hungry. The chili cook-off is today, and I think there's a lot of awesome ones in there. So don't run all out. That's going to be right over here in the fellowship hall. Come support our Rangers. If you guys haven't had a chance to meet Pastor Brad yet for whatever reason and you didn't go over to the Newcomers Cafe, Pastor Brad will definitely be in the fellowship hall. You guys can meet him over there. Make sure you don't forget your kids. And can't wait to see you guys on Wednesday. Have a great week. Amen.